Welcome to Chapter 7 of The Adventures of Brian Hovis. I've been given a scratch card. The costs of this podcast are really mounting. Here we go. Could you imagine if we win now on air? On podcast land, 1,000. 8 chances to win. Here we go. 70,000. 100. That's £4. 200. No, not a f***ing thing. So, if you can donate, please do. Lowfatradio.com. Back to the story. Exterior. Camel. Desert. Day. I awake. Oh, afternoon, Tim. I see you're still trotting along. Where are we? It seems like we're trotting quietly past the edge of some kind of settlement. It has an unwelcome air. Now, Tim, we're heading straight for a trough of lovely water. I wonder, Tim, whilst your penchant for travelling in a remarkable straight line, literally all day is impressive, rather than tip it over, perhaps just this once, you could possibly slow down or please just banana to the right. So fresh! Oh, it seems, Tim, that there are pipes collapsing throughout the settlement. People are starting to gather their own camels and weapons. Oh, for goodness sake, Tim, run! Oh, this is positively running for you, Tim. A little faster, perhaps. No. Somehow, over the next hour or so, Tim managed to gain some distance between us and our pursuers. Taken by itself, you would think this would be great news. However, taken as a whole, as days out go, this was one of the worst ever. 14 hours on a runaway camel with danglies that feel as if they've been flattened by a waffle iron. On the other hand, the anaphylactic shock from the wasps, the gnawing sensation of hunger, accented by the very tangible dysentery, all begin to outshine any pain in the balls. So, every cloud. And of course, you may have already thought it, but rest assured, I had long since regretted the decision to betray Aunt Hester and go alone. How I needed her now. How I needed anyone who wasn't intent on killing me. What I would give. My kingdom on this camel to see a friendly face. It was then I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turned to see Eustace, sitting behind me in a sun hat.
Eustace! Eustace! Lovely Eustace!
Eustace reached round me and placed his hand over Tim's eyes. Tim stopped. I breathed.
Eustace, I can't thank you enough.
All was silent. Apart from the buzz of a stubborn wasp refusing to exit my nostril, the chirping of several locusts in my beard, the rumble of around 100 angry people on horseback sweeping over the nearby dune towards me, and the repeated crack of AK-47 rifles aimed at my head.
Start the camel, Eustace! Start the camel!
Brian!
Aunt Hester!
What are the chances? Just as I made friends with the Cockneys, you've destroyed their water supply, and these guys tend to act first and ask for forgiveness later, with a long song. Now get in the car!
Something I need to tell you. I think I may have been duped by a soft-spoken woman with excellent map-writing skills.
Hitting the gas, Brian.
A violent journey over hard terrain seemed not to bother Eustace in the slightest, who almost seemed to glide above the car. I sustained a number of knocks and bumps. I will tell you about them in detail, but for the third time in 2 days, I entered unconsciousness.
Whilst in my unconscious state, I saw many things. A woman looking like my mother, wearing a cowboy hat and holding a sword, pointing it at me and telling me I was useless. Then her head turned into butterflies and exploded with beauty. One of the butterflies came and sat at the end of my nose, and I noticed his body was a camel. And then I was walking in darkness, in the sand with Hester's voice nearby.
Oh. I was awake again. This was actually
happening.
Oh, hello, Brian. You've come too.
I fear I may be experiencing temporary blindness, Aunt Hester.
I haven't experienced that since Paris, 74.
What a night. What are we doing?
We are climbing a sand dune and it is very exciting.
Where are we?
If the chief was right, we're going to reach the top of this dune and we will see the final resting place of Al-Hazul and his Tower of Song. Oh, shit.
Sounded like you said shit there, Aunt.
I did.
In a good way?
No.
So this is not the ruins of the tower?
Yes, it is. But seems the tower was not made of many kinds of stone.
What was it made of?
It was made of pebbles.
How many?
Oh, 100 or so thousand, perhaps.
What?
If the legend is true that one of them is a magical pebble, then...
It would be like finding a...
Needle in a haystack.
More like hay in a haystack.
Oh!
I fell to my knees and wept.
I'm not cut out for this. I couldn't even stop a camel. And this for whom? Mother?
She loved me once. I doubt it. Long moments passed, and I cried while I felt the sun slipping another degree towards the horizon. And I had no words left, apart from these.
Oh, just leave me alone, Hester.
I wish I could say something to...
Leave me here alone to die like a prune.
Oh, you're being dramatic.
Am I? Then at least I'm good at something. I shall dramatically die now. Unless you can tell me some kind of story to make me feel marginally better. Huh? Got anything? Eh? Huh?
I know a story just came to me. And it's truer than this whole podcast. Truer than you, Brian. An actual true story from the writers of you.
Auntie was saying something in a language I didn't understand. Then she told a story.
When I was a child, there was a pond in our garden. Every evening, three rats would visit. Two of the rats would take the ends of a stick into their mouths, and the third rat would bite onto the stick between them. And they would walk down to the water together where they would drink. The middle rat was blind, and the others were guiding it to the water. An especially moving story when you know it's actually true.
Am I the blind rat?
I think we all need each other a little more than we expected.
Are you saying you need me, Aunt?
Well, I'm saying maybe...
You're saying you...
Maybe we...
You'd love me.
Well, no, I'm... Well, I'm saying...
I love you too. A beautiful, beautiful moment. I stepped toward her, arms agape, full as an egg with love. I did not see the half-buried skeleton in the sand between us, into whose ribcage my eager left foot was plunged. With my ankle inextricably immobile, my weight still moving forward, I realized the danger and expertly twisted my torso, scissor-kicking the air, saving my ankle, but resulting in the snapping of my shin.
Whoa, did you see that?
Oh my fucking God!
There was a light, like a red glow, that expanded around us.
My shin!
And it began so small, over there in a sea of pebbles.
My shin has gone.
Brian, when you tripped up, you must have sung a top F sharp.
My shin has gone and snapped.
The legend is true, the pebble glows.
My shin bone!
Do it again, Brian, listen to me, make that noise again.
I need a hospital, I think.
No, make the noise, Brian, the note.
Gah!
No, that's not it.
Ah, it has snapped. Oh, God, the pain.
They'll poke you in the shin to hell.
Ah!
No, higher.
Ah!
Think about how it felt when it snapped.
Ah!
Higher.
Ah!
No, higher.
I think I'm going to pass out.
I did not pass out, but I did vomit, which, as well as bringing back my breakfast, also brought back my eyesight. A small win in an otherwise dire situation. Meanwhile, Eustace, who had been standing atop his own little sand dune, suddenly did something incredible. The top F sharp. The pebble.
Oh, he's so useful.
I can see it. The glow.
Oh, Eustace, keep going. We shall run down and get it. Oh, my shin! Ah, oh, Jesus, I shouldn't have tried to run. I forgot. Ah!
I'll get it. You slide on your ass back to the car.
Oh,
and so as I
God.
Slid back to the Jeep, down an African sand dune on my ass, I thought about what I had learned today. About life and friendship. Trust and other things like rodents' compassion for each other. It was almost like I was forming some kind of conclusion to this chapter of my life in a beautiful, if overly simplistic and sentimental way.
Sliding down a sand dune. Learning about life. It all started with my mother.
joke. Never left home, then I find my auntie, who gave me lots of hope. Hoodwinked by a lady in a bar. She sold me a map and a life and a dream that made me travel far. So I left my newfound family and I rode out of town on tears, all because I wanted to prove I was capable. I was a dick. Yeah! Brian, Brian, my name is Brian. I'm here on Nile. Trust my new friends. Even if we fail, family, trust I will defend. Of course, though, if we really failed, Mother might die. But no one likes my mother, so let's crack on and give it a try.
Tomorrow, the antiquities auction. Tonight, we celebrate!
I woke up with a heavy weight on my thighs.
Good morning, Brian.
It was my Aunt Hester, who had Eustace sitting on her lap. Eustace once again flying the plane.
That gemstone of yours comes in handy, doesn't it?
Actually, yes. I must fill you in on that.
Oh, this is a hangover.
You were quite the pole dancer.
Have I missed anything?
We auctioned the pebble for £31 million.
Great!
No, sorry.
Lord of mercy!
Sudanese. I meant 31 million Sudanese pounds.
Which is?
4,000 British pounds.
Well, great start, actually.
Minus the bar bill, 12 pots of Pringles, the cost of fixing the plane and your shin, and the cost of the deposit for Tim the Camel. Leaving? About 32 pounds.
Oh.
Oh, and Alf left a message at the hotel to say Periwinkle pronounced you dead on TV.
Did you correct him?
You can telegram from Kathmandu.
India.
Nepal.
Nepal!
That's where our next artifact should be.
Our next?
Well, we can't stop now, can we?
Oh, Auntie. We're adventuring further. Oh, I feel so welcomed into your bosom. I feel part of the team. I feel...
Well, seeing as you f***ed this one up so badly, we better give it another shot, okay?
Nepal!
Indeed. A few days trek up the Himalayas and we begin our search for...
The Priest of Pisgah's last Yeti whistle.
He's coming out of his trance, Auntie. You're a pilot. You're a well-trained pilot. An excellent pilot. What an excellent pilot.
The next adventure of Brian Hovis will be the Priest of Pisgah's last Yeti whistle. But he can only afford to go if you give him some money. If you don't like giving up money willy-nilly, why not get something as a treat in exchange? My hugely embarrassing outtakes / bloopers from recording this podcast, oh my giddy good God, are available for a tiny amount of money. Or why not check out my ever-growing adventure guides? For example, Brian's top 10 plants to be avoided at all costs. Or Brian's top 10 tips for getting by in German without any language lessons. Just visit lowfatradio.com.